You're listening to Optimize et al., a technology podcast powered by Naviate.
And now the theme for the podcast is to do with architecture existing without technology and how can everyone get involved with the future of architecture. So first of all then, Mehmet, can architecture exist without technology?
Short answer, yes. Architecture has existed for thousands of years and has always been influenced by technology. So I would say that both technology and architecture always coexisted side by side. So from the earliest structures built by ancient civilization until today, we are utilizing technology. Back then, it was in some rudimentary, basic ways.
Tents and woods to keep...
create a shelter for yourself. I'm talking about the first civilizations. And then that became... people wanted more. People started investigating, researching how to build buildings better. Look at the pyramids. Look at the Great Wall of China, the Gothic cathedrals. All of them are monumental architectural feats and all are showing innovative technologies and building methods being used and incorporated. For some of them, we don't even know how they were built yet. So there was knowledge that, for example, today we don't have, maybe. Now I'm going into some conspiracy theories, but no, I'm not going to go there. So, yeah.
As could be said, the dark side to technology coming out.
Could be the dark side, yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. So, however, the advent of advanced technologies brought so many things to us. We mentioned already CAD, we mentioned BIM, we mentioned rendering and visualization technologies. What about robotics, 3D printing technologies? What about climate change, predictive softwares? We briefly mentioned as well analysis and simulation softwares. All of those are providing us with so many decision-making information that before was not imaginable. And now we have AI to help us with all of this, to kind of get all of this data inside of a server, whatever it is, and make it ready and available for us always. So now some revolutionizing ways coming our way.
Absolutely. Now that you mentioned AI, I can't help but ask you this question.
Yeah, do you think
we're going to get lazy as architects, you know, and just start to focus on just pressing a button and say, oh, yeah, that's a good iteration. We'll go with that design instead.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's going to happen. But I think that the ones who want to be successful in architecture will not be able to be lazy. We will need to learn how to interact with the AI models. We will need to learn, basically, we will need to learn how to talk to computers. And you and me, maybe it's easy for you and me, but for a lot of people, it's not. We are now clicking and using keyboards, but in the future, we will have to talk to the AI model. And the better you talk, the better design you will get. So I'm maybe a little bit ideal.
Oh, no, not skeptical.
No, I'm quite excited about how AI will be introduced in architecture. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm quite investigating that for the past couple of months. Imagine having a software where you can just give it specific details. I want a room with a brick wall that has these and these dimensions, and you get it. You get a room with, and you tell it, okay, I want this glass area, and you get it. And then you can just make small modifications, either again by talking to the AI or doing it yourself. So, but in the end product, I think it will be much more efficient. Lazy, but efficient.
Lazy, but efficient. Mm. Although we say lazy but efficient, I think it's utilizing and optimizing what we have and being able to spend that energy and time on something else that will also become really important.
Yes.
But you remind me of something. When you mention speaking to technology and saying, you know, you might say to Revit, oh, draw me four walls with these dimensions, as you mentioned. But if you look around and the younger generation with their mobile phones, they don't kind of go in and have a look and type to say, oh, I want to call Mehmet. No, it'll say, you know, pick up the phone and say, hey, Siri, call Mehmet. And then that's it. You know, everyone's calling Mehmet at the same time. But this is where the translation of that, and like you say, you got to talk clearly into the phone in order for it to do that. Yeah, so instead of calling Mehmet, it might call someone else instead. So, you know, it's something that I think the more intelligent it becomes, the more it predicts who we want to call at 5 o'clock, the more it says, oh, would you like to call Mehmet now? It's 5 o'clock, you know, and it kind of gets you saying, nah, I don't feel like it today. Let's not phone him, you know, but this is where we're going with architecture, you know. Okay, we've got a new project, go into Revit, say, right, okay, we've got a new project coming in. We normally design educational buildings, right? Okay, would you like to use a template for educational buildings? Yes, it's that exactly kind of interactivity, like, isn't it? And it's almost like your architectural buddy, your friend, you know.
Virtual assistant.
Virtual architectural assistant, V-A-A-R? We're getting into football here, but anyway, let's not get into that. Okay. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's crucial that, you know, yes, as you mentioned, architecture, technology has been within architecture for many, many thousands of years, and it is something that we need to kind of keep hold of and move into. What is it that, enlighten me, Mehmet, what is it that kind of gave you this aspiration for architecture and technology mixed together?
I think I was always into technology since young age. I was the one who was always fixing our computer, who was always fixing our internet connection. And as I previously mentioned, when I started my studies, I had to learn 5+ softwares and more than that even. And what I figured out during those years is this is so easy to me. I can learn. Today, I can with great confidence say that I could learn any software in a number of days.
That's a great skill.
Maybe I'm too confident right now, but I kind of always liked investigating what a software does. And I noticed after 20, 30 softwares that they're all almost the same. But I think it came from my young age. So I always liked computers. And when I got into architecture, and as well, I got into architecture from a young age, I always liked to draw. And when I connected kind of the digital world with the architectural world, I said to myself, yes, this is it, what you want. And I can add one last thing, and that was, I think, it happened by accident. I started working here in Walter as a QA engineer on Naviate. So it's been 7 years since then. And Naviate is all about technology, but as well, it is always close to architecture. We are the ones who are always trying to figure out what architects need, and then we develop it. So I think I found my colleague with technology and architecture. That's kind of
Found the right mix there, Mehmet.
Yes, I did. I did, definitely.
Absolutely. Okay, so for those who are listening at the moment, you know, they want to get involved, they're passionate like you, they like architecture, they like technology. What could you say to our listeners that can get them involved in the future of architecture and technology?
First, I would like architects, young architects especially, to be aware of one concern that we all should have. And that's that technology can take away critical thinking. Don't allow that. always try to research, always try to learn new things, and keep up with anything related to architectural trends, and try to be a little bit philosophical when it comes to architecture. It's not just four walls, a floor, and a ceiling. There is life happening inside. So I was now a little bit sentimental, but what I wanted to say is critical thinking is so important for an architect. And when it comes to technology, architects need to know that we are not only designers, we are as well engineers. So please keep up with adopting new technologies, stay ahead, not behind. So we should actively be engaged in emerging technologies, attending conferences, workshops, collaborate with professionals from various fields. An architect is someone who is not just an architect, but as well someone who needs to be social, who needs to know philosophy, who needs to know technology. So we are various things. And if you focus only on one thing, if you only focus on those four walls and the floor and the ceiling, you're not going to get far.
So in terms of having a well-rounded person, so a great architect is a well-rounded person who looks at things not just from one angle, but looks at it from, you know, the angle of the carpenter on site, the angle of the firefighter going in,
everything,
the angle of the people who are using that building, you know, someone in a wheelchair, how are they going to have access, accessibility, sustainability, how can we make things better for the environment? You know, an architect is an all-rounded person. And the part about social, absolutely 100%, because you need to understand and listen to the other parties who will be using the building, or listen to the engineers to understand the restrictions in the structure, which is what's restricting us in our design, or we now need to develop the design to be better for that. I absolutely 100% agree with that, Mehmet. I think it's really great. So Mehmet, this now takes us to the wrap-up of our podcast together. It's been an absolute pleasure and a very educational journey for me. Sorry. It has been an absolute pleasure. It has been an absolute pleasure for me and an educational journey as well. I've learned a lot from your comments, and I learned a lot from the way that you've portrayed architecture and technology together. Do you have anything for our listeners today that you can kind of inspire us and end this podcast with?
The first thing that I would tell to architects, especially young architects, is that they should be aware that as technology progresses and advances, so will architecture. And keep up with those advancements. Which brings me to the second and last point that I would like to share as an inspiration: continuous learning and professional development. Those are the key to harnessing the full potential of technology in architecture. And if you take the first advice that I shared, those two, I think, can provide you with so much understanding of the future. And maybe that can be my last advice. Always look ahead and try to figure out what is the future holding, because we are the ones who are creating the future in the end. We are building new cities, we are building new ways of living. So take the responsibility and learn and stay ahead.
Mehmet, you've just reminded me of my college days, where my chemistry teacher used to say to us, "You are the creme de la creme of society." So what you've just said there to our listeners is, yes, you are the now. You can create your architecture and technology so long as you stay focused and always look to the future and stay agile within the market. Would you agree? Okay. Did I understand
Definitely.
That?
You summarized everything.
Everything in one sentence. I hope you've all enjoyed our podcast today, where we were looking at architecture and technology and making sure that we're involved within the future of technology and architecture alike. Thank you very much, Mehmet, for joining me on this podcast once again. And I look forward to seeing you all on the next podcast. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mittal. It was really nice. talking to you. And yeah, hope we talk again soon. So thank you very much, and bye-bye, and bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.